May be seated. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Esther chapter 8. Esther chapter 8, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king, and said, If it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen, and to Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name, and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called, at that time, in the third month, that is, the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written, according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants, and the deputies, and rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, and 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by posts on horseback, and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together, and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for prey. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the posts that rode upon the mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. And the decree was given at Shushan, the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so first of all, we see the promotion of Mordecai, We see also that the house of Haman was given to Esther. So all of the stuff that Haman had been bragging about, in, you know, a couple of chapters ago, now that belongs to Queen Esther. Mordecai came before the king, and notice only now Esther introduces Mordecai as her stepfather. Only now. She had not sought favor for him, nor had he sought favor at her hand, all the while of their ordeal. This speaks to their modesty and their trusting in the Lord. They did not press that advantage. But the king took off his ring, as he had before, to Haman the Agagite, and now he gives that ring to Mordecai the Benjamite, who has triumphed where Saul had failed, and has triumphed over the Agagite enemy, and now will administer his goods and act in the king's name. So that's the first portion. Esther gives Mordecai the stewardship, the management of the house of Haman. Imagine the wife and the counselors and the children when the new boss showed up. Well, that's a part of God's irony, is it not? It's a part of his justice. And perhaps it's a part of his mercy. Perhaps with a man like Mordecai ruling over that household, they too might be induced to call upon the name of the true God and turn from their wickedness. So now we have in verses 3 through 14 this larger section, and it's what we call the bulk or belly of the passage or the chapter itself. There are a couple of things that come up here that I think are worthy of mention. We're a little bit pressed for time. But let me say it this way first. Note that when Esther came in before the king and gave her request for her people and for her own life, that she appeared in the queen's array, regal, standing before the king and making her request known. She has received her life, and she's received the life of her people, but she does not yet know how. The guy that devised it is dead. He's hanged on the gallows, and his house now is controlled by them. And so one might be pleased to say, okay, all of the threat is over. But it isn't. There's a decree that has gone forth with the seal of the ring of the king upon it, and we know that the laws of the Medes and Persians, as we read even in this chapter, are irrevocable. And so this decree still remains out there. It has not been revoked, and indeed cannot be revoked. So we have a difficulty. And so Esther appears once again in that place where she was before when the king held out his scepter to her. But this time, she does not appear the stately Queen Esther. This time, she falls down upon her face before her king, the husband, right? And she pleads for the life of her people. And she pleads for something that Ahasuerus is not exactly able to do. And that is to reverse the decree. The Hebrew word there, some of you Hebrew students will recognize it, is the Hebrew word shuv, to turn it aside or to turn it back. To reverse is often a way. Shuv is put in the Old Testament many times for repentance, to turn from your sins, and so on. Well, the king reminds them, even though he gives them leave to write a new decree, he does remind them, remember, in writing this decree, that the king's word, sealed by his ring, cannot be withstood. It cannot be turned back. So what do? A very wise procedure. I hope you caught it. Mordecai and Esther call in the legal experts of the realm. And calling in the legal experts of the realm, they ask them to write a decree, another decree that will be sealed by the king's ring, that will exist alongside the original decree, that will somehow, without overturning the first decree, give the Jews protection from it. It's a genius procedure, because you have a decree that has been signed and sealed by the king that cannot be turned back. Then, verse 9, were the king's scribes called, and that at that time, in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and to the deputies and rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces unto every province according to the writing thereof. So they called the scribes, they consulted with them, and then Mordecai commanded them what to write. And what did they write, beloved? Is it an overturning of the king's original decree? No, not at all. What it truly is, however, is a decree that is now targeted at the Jews themselves. And they are told that they have every right and every opportunity to rise up and slay those that would slay them and take their house instead. Fascinating, isn't it? And so now the original inhabitants of the Medo-Persian Empire from the river to Ethiopia, right, from one end of the heaven to the other, basically, of the known world of that day, now they have a choice to make. In every city, in every town, in every province, in every countryside, the people of that area are to regard whether or not, let's see what happens if we rise up against these Jews, because now they have force and power to repel our attack. And so, as we will read a little bit later on, there will be a number of Persians that are killed. Next week, Lord willing, we'll read about it. Why were they killed? Because they wouldn't let it rest. They wouldn't stay quiet. They rose up against the Jews, and the Jews were given a decree of self-defense to rise up against those who would rise up against them and to destroy them and to take the spoil. So that is the decree that is written. And you'll note that it is completely consistent with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be altered. What was given is added permission to the Jews. And they had, I'm going to say, 5 months left, at least, to ready themselves, to prepare themselves, to make a battle plan, to ready their defenses. They had plenty of time to set up their defense against what was coming. And we see in the next chapter that that's exactly what they did. And I know also that in our day that the Jews generally have come under some suspicion, and I understand that suspicion. But I will say this, that when we're reading about the Jews here in Esther, these are our brethren. These are our faithful brethren in the Lord. And so we should be cheering them on, that the Lord would give them strength and courage to rise up against those who would exterminate them. That extermination is sinful, unlawful, foul in the eyes of heaven. And so we have this wonderful chapter then, where Mordecai and Esther are given favor by the king and the king's ring to write a second decree to exist alongside the first decree, which has offered protection and ability and the rights of self-defense to those who would do the Jews harm. And what happened when they saw the posts spread throughout the land? Well, it says in verse 36, doesn't it? Notice, first of all, that in verse 15, that the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. This tells you something about the Jews and habitating there in that land, that they were a benefit, a boon to the land. They prayed for the peace of that land that they lived in, just like Jeremiah 23 would tell them to. They were in a land that was not their own, and yet they stayed, and they were of boon and benefit to it. So should we be, beloved, the true Israel, in every land that we live. We should be a boon and a blessing to it. We should be that those few grapes in the cluster for which God saves the rest of the cluster. And then for the Jews themselves, in verse 16, they had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for fear of the Jews fell upon them. And so we have then It became obvious to many people in the land that the Lord was with his people. And they wanted that kind of favor themselves, and so they joined. Oh, perhaps some of them joined in sincerely. But, beloved, let's not have that kind of pinched mindset, that the Lord used this as an apologetic and an evangelistic prospect to draw in many Persians into his church of that day. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue.